Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you. And we're taking up a brief series of studies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, especially in the Christian. God wants us to be spiritual. This is God's desire for every one of His children. And the truth must live. It's not just sufficient for us to have an intellectual knowledge of truth. This is needful. But that truth must live. And we can only impart that which is living in us. Now, in our past lessons, we've been dealing with the natural man, the unsaved man. And then the carnal man is the one who's Christian but walking in self-will and so on. And the only way you can change a natural man to a saved man, of course, is by real faith in the Savior. But God wants us to be spiritual. That means a life of not only right relationship with the Lord, but in fellowship with His Son. Remember, it is the Spirit of God that searches the hearts. He's the one who reveals the things of God to us. He's the one who teaches the very deep things of God. And the believer must be open to receive them. Hence, the great question is that we must, are we in right adjustment with God in His precious will? Now, we were speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, which says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." I may change that word. "He that is spiritual discerneth all things, yet he himself is not judged of man." God wants us to be spiritual. Now, there's no question the Bible speaks of this. You remember in Galatians chapter 6, the first verse, we read, "If a brother be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted." In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-5, Paul says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." This is normal Christianity. And the spiritual man is just the opposite to the carnal man. Now, they both are in relationship with the Savior. They're both Christians. But one is walking in the will of God and one is not. I'm talking about the pattern of your life, not some far-out experience or what you had yesterday and you don't have it again. But the pattern of your life is what we want to get at. Is the pattern of your life, are you living on that plane where self-will and self-desire takes prominence over the will of God and the purpose of God? And he that is spiritual is able to discern that which is right and that which is not right. So the first thing, just as we gave, pardon me for a second, we gave 8 or 9 things that characterize the carnal Christian. Allow me to give you 2 or 3 things concerning the spiritual man. You see, what I want you to do is to find out where you are. If you're an unsaved man, you're the natural man who rejects the Word of God. You've turned your back on the Savior, or you haven't received Him, or you're indifferent to Him, or you've put Him off. Some say, "Well, yes, I know I ought to be saved, but not now." That's the unsaved man. You might be good, you might be moral, you might even be religious, but unless you have come into right relationship with the Savior, my friend, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian, period. You're the natural man. Now, the carnal man, as I said, was also the man who's a Christian, but not walking in the will of God. So there are certain things that characterize the spiritual man who is able to discern all things. First of all, may I just put this first? You might change the order, but let me go first. He acknowledges Christ Jesus in His rightful place as Lord in his life. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter said, in speaking of our Lord's death and resurrection, and then he goes on to say, "And God hath made Him Lord and Christ." He's not only the Lord over all creation, but we recognize Him as the Lord over not only the whole church, but the Lord over the individual believer. and he is the one who is master. It may be well for me to suggest this to you. When our Lord was on earth, he was given various names. For example, he was called Rabbi. This was quite a common word, which means teacher. Sometimes he's called Didaskalos. This means a teacher, the relationship between a student and his teacher. And then he was called Lord. And the word there is word Kurios, which means Lord. Now, for example, in Romans chapter 10, the 9th verse, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. And this is generally a word used with our Lord with respect to his deity. He's Lord. But there's another word which I think is very, very specific in this connection in regard to the recognition of the Lordship of Christ. Our Lord also is called Despotar. Now that Greek word from which we get the English word despot. When a man is called a despot, we think of one as a tyrant, somebody who's lording it over everybody. He's a potentate. He's a despot. He brooks no opposition. Now the word in the New Testament does not take that connotation. The word master is the relationship between a master and a slave. A master and a slave. For example, in Luke chapter 2, verse 29. Luke 2, 29. Do you remember Simeon came into the temple? And he was there a great deal. And when he was there one day, Mary came in with the baby Jesus. And Simeon took the baby in his arms and he said, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Now, in the preceding verses, you read that Simeon was a man who was filled with the Spirit. He was taught by the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. So that when he was led into the temple that morning by the Spirit of God, the babe Jesus was put in his arms and he said, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace." By the way, this is the one verse where the two words are used together, master and slave. The literal of that verse would be, "Now, master, release your bond slave according to your word." By the way, that's a nice way to look at death, isn't it? Release your bond slave. Having seen the Lord Christ, there's nothing else down here. Release me. I see that's a nice way to look at death, isn't it? Lord, release me. Bound down here and limited in bodies that are frail, that hurt, that suffer, that are in sorrow, that rejoice, and so on, yet greatly limited. The day is going to come when we're going to leave these bodies of limitation and we're going to stand in his presence with new bodies, unlimited. And so Simeon said, "Lord, release your bondslave, master, despota." Now remember, it's the relationship between a master and a slave. Now the disciples just used that word once, and that would be in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. After the first opposition to the gospel, Peter and John went back to their company. And you know what they called him? Despota, Lord, Lord. The recognition of him as Lord and Master. One in absolute authority. In 2 Timothy 2:21, Paul writing to Timothy said, "In a house there are all kinds of vessels. Some vessels are to honor and some vessels are to dishonor. And if a man purge himself from these, that these vessels of dishonor, he shall be a vessel meet for the master's use." And this is the one place where it's really translated in the English text correctly. Meet for the master's use, fit to be used by the master, the one in absolute authority. In the book of Jude, verse 4, I read that these false teachers deny the only Lord God, even our Master, Jesus Christ. They deny his place of authority. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 10, the souls under the altar cry, O Lord, how long, O Lord, wilt thou avenge our blood upon the earth? And the word there is the same word, despota, which means master. You have all authority over heaven and earth. You have authority over all flesh. How long will you not avenge our blood? If you're the master of all things, you can do just what you want to do. My friend, I wonder if you and I have come to that place in our lives, in our Christian experience, where we can call, absolutely call Jesus, Master. I think many of us will call him Savior. We will call him Lord. That is, we acknowledge his place as Lord on the throne. But have you come in your own life, in my life, where we'll bow before him and acknowledge him as being the only despota, the only real master? Are you and I willing to take the place as bond slaves and acknowledge that all that we have, the time, the possessions, the will, all that we are and have belongs to him? As 1 Corinthians 6 says in the last verse, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits, which are God's. The recognition of his rightful place in our hearts and lives. Again, I must say, so many Christians are living lives of self-will. Is Jesus Christ really your master? You know, you can live in your home, take care of your family, run the house, work at your business, work in the office, run your shop, your store, wherever you are, whatever you are, and still acknowledge him as your master. Still be in simple submission to his will and obedient to his word. God doesn't call everyone to be a preacher of the word of God. No, God has given in the church prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. God doesn't gift every man the same. I've had young men say, well, Mr. Mitchell, if I were to really, really yield myself to the Lord and acknowledge Jesus Christ as my master, why, he'll send me here, he'll send me there. How do you know that? You don't know that. In fact, I'm of the persuasion you never will know where he wants you until you acknowledge his rightful place in your life. And this which marks out a spiritual man from a carnal Christian is the place they give Jesus Christ, God's Son. Is he the center of your affection? Is he the object of your heart's devotion? Is he your master? See? Now, if I were to say to you, do you really believe that Jesus Christ is absolute in authority? I'm sure every one of you Christians would say, why, of course. Of course he's absolute in authority. Then if I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is absolute in authority, then I must be absolute in my obedience to him. Oh, brother, you're asking a big thing. Yes, I'm asking largely. I think God asks of that. You see, the life that is usable, the life, in fact, I'll say there's no life comparable to this life of recognizing Jesus Christ not only as your Savior and Lord, but as the one who is Master. You know, it's only mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. Pardon me, there is one other time, and that is in 2 Peter 2:1, which says, in the last days there'll be false teachers, just as there were false prophets. And they will come in bringing in damnable heresies, denying the only despota, the only master who bought them. You see, if I were to talk doctrine, and I'm sure every Christian listening to me today will acknowledge that Jesus Christ has absolute authority. There's no question about this intellectually. There's no question about this doctrinally. But that doesn't make you spiritual just because you see his position. Because he is Lord and Master. That he has all authority over all flesh. That he can give eternal life to as many as believe in him. That he is on the throne, working all things out after the counsel of his own will. That he is the one who has the authority of death and of hell. We can say all that. And intellectually believe all that. But that doesn't make you spiritual. Again, I say intellectual grasp of truth doesn't make a man spiritual. There must be in one's own life the actual yieldedness and submission to him, that he is not only absolute in authority, but it demands of you and me absolute submission and obedience. And the pattern of a spiritual man, even though sometimes he might fail God and be disobedient, but the pattern of his life, the great urge in his life, is that Jesus Christ will be recognized in all that he is and all that he does, that he's really our master. Can you say that, my friend? Can you honestly say that he's your master and that you are his bondslave? As Paul could say in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, if I yet pleased men, I would no longer be the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Oh, may I plead with your heart today, Christian friend, why not give him his rightful place? Don't you think he's worthy of that? Don't you think he should have that place? Do you think life would be so hard if you gave him that place? Do you know, in 1 John chapter 5, it says, his commandments are not grievous. The Lord knows your frailty. The Lord knows your weaknesses. The Lord is very tender. He's very compassionate. He's very, very long-suffering. He knows all about you, and he cares for you, and he loves you. Is it hard to have somebody who loves you with a perfect, everlasting love to be your master? Do you think he's going to bring pain and sorrow into your life if you make Jesus Christ your master? Why don't we? Because we want our own way. There aren't a great many people who say they're servants of God, but they want their own way. Oh, God grant that you and I may not only rejoice in Jesus Christ as our Savior, but to be able to say, he's my master. He's my despota. And all that I am and all that I have is his. And that the only thing we want in life is to glorify him. Just as our Lord said in John 8:29, I do always the things that please him. Oh, to come to that place of complete submission to the will of our precious Father. Friend, this is spiritual life. This is spiritual life. It's not a hard life. Oh, you'll be tested and tried. Of course you will. We're living in a world that has no place for him. And the more I recognize him as my Lord and Master, the possibility is I'll have more opposition. I'll be more misunderstood by people. That's true. But wouldn't you rather have the commendation of Jesus Christ in that day when he shall say, because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you Lord over many? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, he rewards faithfulness to his person as well as to his work. In fact, I will say this, the greater place you give Christ in your life, the greater service you will serve him. It may not be in the eyes of other people, but that's neither here nor there. The important thing is, what does he want? What does he want? And I tell you, my friend, there is no life comparable to this life in Christ. God grant he'll be your master, your Lord today.